The title of what I'm going to share with you is Help, Lord, My Comfort Zone Is Being Squeezed. You know, David cried out, Help, Lord, My Comfort Zone Is Being Squeezed. And when our comfort zone is squeezed, we experience stress. Now, how many of you have ever experienced stress? Kind of a trite question, right? What do I mean when I say, Help, Lord, my comfort zone is being squeezed? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations. And one is a minor stress, and one is a major stress. The minor stress has to do with my youngest son, who has this wonderful cockatiel bird named Abraham. I have experienced in the last 3 years why birds are called dirty birds. They have to be the dirtiest animal around. We have had dogs, we have had every kind of little pet, but the bird is terrible. Does anyone have a bird?
Yes.
Don is responsible to keep the birdcage clean. His idea of clean and my idea of clean are not compatible. And so when I go in his room and I see that birdcage, my comfort zone is squeezed royal. You know something? In Song of the Solomon, God says to catch the little foxes that destroy the vine. This is just a little minor irritation, a little minor stress. But lots of stresses, just little minor stresses, can multiply. And God says to catch, take captive, those little foxes that destroy the vine. A major stress in my life was last February 14th, and I've shared this with some of you. My father had a heart attack, 79 years old. He's a godly man. He has been preaching for many, many years and never missed a preaching assignment because of illness. My mother's had 4 heart attacks and a stroke. And in my folks' retirement years, my dad has taken care of my mother. And all of a sudden, my dad, his comfort zone is being squeezed. The whole family's comfort zone is being squeezed because my dad has had a heart attack. He lives in Memphis, Tennessee, and I live in Oklahoma City, and I had to rush home to take care of mother. And it was a whole night before I could get there. I was very concerned about mother through the night and how she was faring, how she was getting along, knowing that daddy was in intensive care, in the critical care unit, not knowing whether he would live or die. I got home, and I've never had to deal with my dad being sick. And so I had to deal with a lot of stresses. One stress was we were supposed to go on a mission trip, a joint mission trip through our church to Jamaica. And that would not have been a stress had God not been just really burdening my heart that we were to go ahead and do that. And I couldn't get that out of my mind. And here I was the only one, seemingly, that could take care of my mother and my dad. And that was real stressful to me. But God became, during that specific time, my comfort. He is God. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of comfort. He didn't just give me comfort. He was my comfort. And that took me a long time, years, to come to that truth, that God doesn't just give me peace. He is my peace. He does not just give me joy, He is my joy. He does not just give me comfort, He is my comfort. When I looked to God during that stressful time, He was my comfort. Nothing else could comfort me. Friends, loved ones, doctors, no one could comfort me but God. When we look at women of the Bible, we see many women who were stressed, women whose comfort zones were being squeezed. Can you think how Jochebed must have felt when she had to hide her son Moses in a little basket in the weeds by the Nile because she feared for his life? If you're a mom, and especially a mom of a little boy, can you imagine the stress, the fear, the anxiety, the torment that might come from that? We look at Sarah. Sarah was a frustrated woman. Why? Because she couldn't have children. Maybe some of you identify with Sarah today. Maybe you are stressed, frustrated because you would love to have children, but you cannot. And then we think of Rebecca, whose husband was afraid to say that she was his wife, and so instead said she was his sister. Can you imagine the predicament that put Rebecca in? Her comfort zone was squeezed, wasn't it? What about Ruth, when she went through the death of her husband and was uprooted from her home? Stress, comfort, being squeezed. And just imagine Martha when she found out Jesus was coming to her house. Now, my husband told me, he said, now, Marilyn, some women wouldn't identify with that because that's no stress for them. I said, there may be a few, but I don't really think I know any. Can you imagine hurrying around, cleaning house, trying to make everything just perfect, and trying to be calm, cool, and collected when the master arrived at your front door? That's stress. That's what I mean when I say, help, Lord, my comfort zone is being squeezed. How are you being squeezed in your life today? Why do you think that God, holy God, allows stresses in our lives? Why do you think God allows our comfort zone to be squeezed? Why? Well, I believe there are many, many reasons, but there is one reason I think that is the most important, and that is that I am His child, and He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of comfort. And if I never had a need for comfort, if I never had any need for comfort, I would not know His comfort. I would not know Him as Jehovah Shalom. He wants us as His children to be a comfortable people. And if you do not know God as your personal Lord and Savior, there's no way you could ever experience Jehovah Shalom, the God of comfort, because that is what He is to His children, His very own. And it's my prayer that before today's over, that you would accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. There are any number of gals in this room that could show you how to invite Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior. We, everyone, need a Savior. But in Isaiah 41, He says, comfort, O comfort ye my people. Speak kindly to them. See, He wants us to be comforted. He wants us to be a comfortable people. And He says in 2 Corinthians 1:4, blessed be God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. He is the one who comforts us in all of our stresses. The world may comfort us. Friends may comfort us. Things may comfort us. But they're all temporal. They do not last. They're not eternal. Only the comfort of Holy God lasts. And that's the comfort that we as His children need to have. Why does God allow me to be squeezed? I believe it's to show me my need of salvation. Now, when I talk about salvation, I see salvation in three tenses: past, present, and future. Past, I have been saved from the penalty of sin. Present, I am being saved from the power of sin. Future, I will be saved from the presence of sin. Now, I've already been saved from the penalty of sin. But all day long, God is wanting me to know His salvation. He's wanting to save me from the stresses and the squeezes of life. He's wanting to be my comfort. He is salvation when I am stressed. When I'm stressed, in the midst of all my stresses, He's everything to me, including my comfort. He's everything. Worry and fear and torment are all sin. How do I know? Because God said, cast all of your care upon me, because I care for you. 1 Peter 5:7. And when I'm not casting all my care on Holy God, I'm being disobedient. When I'm worrying, when I'm fearful, when I'm taking it in my own hands, I'm sinning. God wants to be my salvation. He wants to forgive me of that. And He wants to come and comfort me. The reason for trials and stresses are, I believe, that I might know the comfort of God. I never had a stress or a trial. I couldn't really know the comfort of Holy God. So what is God trying to teach me when my comfort zone is being squeezed? What is He trying to teach us when our comfort zone is being squeezed?
Draw closer.
Draw closer to Him. I believe one of the big key things is that I will be God-dependent versus I-dependent. Independent spirit. I can do it myself. I can find comfort. I can find happiness. I can find release. I can find relief. I can get out of this. The big I. We were born wanting our way, weren't we? Wanting a bottle. Wanting our diapers changed. And we just continued. We progressed in that. The big I. I dependent. And God wants us to be God dependent on Him. We try to wiggle and squirm our way out, don't we? But I think there's a beautiful lesson for us, and it's found in Isaiah, the 30th chapter, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to that if you have them, please. Isaiah, the 30th chapter. We'll start with the first verse. Israel was in trouble, and they needed a way out. God told them how they could get out. But in this passage, we see that Israel was a very rebellious people. In verse 1, we see God says to them, "Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit." Who execute a plan, but not mine. How many times we do that? We're stressed and we execute a plan. But it's not God's plan, it's not God's way out, it's mine. Who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me. I mean, how many times do we do that? This is so clear, isn't it? So clearly a picture of us today. I mean, we're fast food society. I mean, we want everything and we want it now. So we proceed down to where we think we'll find comfort without even thinking about God, without even consulting Holy God. And they did that. The Israelites did. Who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh. I focus. I dependent. not God dependent. Okay, and then turn to verse 9. God says, "For this is a rebellious people, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord." Now you just think, when you were squeezed, was your first reaction to flee to the Word of God, to receive instruction from the Lord, or was it to depend on your own intellect, on how to get out of that squeeze, out of that trouble, out of that stress? Who did you depend on? I depended. They were a rebellious people. The Lord tells them how to get out. Look at verse 15. "For thus the Lord, the God of the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength." In repentance, in rest, in quietness, in trust. Was that a picture of you the last time you were stressed and squeezed? Were you restful? Were you trusting a holy God? I think we're kind of like the Israelites a lot of times, aren't we? And we go on and we read, "But you were not willing." And look at verse 16. "And you said, no, for we will flee on horses." Pride. "No, we're not going to do what you say, God. We're going to get in the fast lane." Have any of you ever been in California on those freeways and gotten caught in the fast lane? Or even closer to you gals, New York City. You ever been down New York, around New York City, and gotten caught in the fast lane? Well, see, the Israelites were just rebellious people, and they were saying, "No, we're not going to do that, God. We're going to flee on horses." They were going to get out of there as fast as they could in their own way. I-dependent versus God-dependent. But look up in verse 18. How do we find God? Still, He waits. God is a gracious and loving and just God. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. That is the most beautiful scripture to me. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for Him. He longs to be gracious to me. He longs to be compassionate to me. But He's not going to force Himself on me. If I want to say no and flee in my own way and try to get out of my struggle my own way, God waits on the sideline patiently and graciously for me, because He knows there's going to come a point where I'm going to have to look up to Him. Now, what do we depend on when we're squeezed and stressed? Do we depend on the temporal values of the world to try to make us comfortable? Or do we turn to Holy God, to Jehovah Shalom, the God of comfort? Still, He waits, longing to be gracious to us. And look at verse 19. "At the sound of your cry, when He hears it, He will answer you." Do you cry out, "Help, Lord," meaning it? "Oh, help, Lord, my comfort zone is being squeezed. I desperately need you." It says He will hear you and He will answer you. And it says, "Your eyes will behold your teacher." When you cry out to Him, we will see Him. "And your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it." My comfort zone was being squeezed with my dad. I knew we were supposed to go to Jamaica. Felt like we were, and yet, from my perspective, I did not see how that was even possible. How I could leave my father and my mother, who were both ill, and seemingly no one to care for them, and go to a foreign place. That just did not seem right at all. but there was such unrest in me. I had to flee back to the arms of God. I had to go running back crying out, "Help, Lord, what do you want?" And I heard a voice, and I heard the Lord saying to me, I was reading in Acts 7 in my daily devotional, in my calendar reading, and just for that day, God said to me, "Leave your country, leave your relatives, and go to the place where I shall send you." It was at that moment I knew Jehovah Shalom, the God of comfort. My eyes didn't see it. The I-dependent me did not see it. But the God-dependent me saw it. Because God has the higher perspective. He can see everything. At that point, the doctors couldn't say when my dad was coming home from the hospital. I had limited perspective. But all of a sudden, after I received that promise, my dad was home in just a few days. He came home one afternoon. The next morning, my dad was sitting at the breakfast table in his suit and tie. My dad's a pastor, and he's always had his suit and tie on early in the morning, ever since I was a little girl. I've never seen him in anything but a suit and tie. I gave him a sweatsuit for Christmas one time. I have not seen him in it. I'm not sure if he wears it. But that was a miracle to me. God had the whole perspective. And 2 weeks after I got home from Jamaica, my comfort zone was squeezed once again, and they called me, and my dad was in intensive care once again. And he had had a gallbladder attack. And the pain was much more severe than the pain with the heart attack. And it really seemed that we would lose him. But I knew to flee to the arms of Jehovah Shalom for my comfort. And I did that. And I went over to Memphis to care for my dad and my mother once again with a whole new peace and joy and comfort in my spirit, knowing God was the blessed controller of all things. And that he knows the plans he has for my dad. He knows the plans he has for me. And they are plans for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. My dad, we nearly lost him. But once again, God intervened. And he has already been preaching, I don't know how many times now. But every time I call home, he's going to be preaching again the next Sunday. It's just a marvel to me. He's operating, functioning on a third of his heart, according to the doctors. He has a highly diseased gallbladder. They cannot take it out because of his weak heart. God is the God of comfort. He wants us to flee to him, but we try to figure it out ourselves, don't we? We try to look at it from our perspective. Look in verse 1 of chapter 31. Once again, God repeats, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on and trust in and do not look to the Holy One nor seek the Lord." Woe to you. This is a rebuke to us. When we will not look at God, will not rely on Him, will not trust Him, we just want to look at things from our own perspective and figure them out ourselves. How can I apply what God is teaching me when my comfort zone is being squeezed? There's a reason for it. God certainly allows it. He's giving me principles to live by in His Word. How can I apply what Holy God is teaching me when my comfort zone is being squeezed? I want us to look at Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Look at what verse 1 says. "Let us lay aside every encumbrance." Lay aside every burden. Lay aside everything that keeps us from relying on, trusting in Holy God. Let us give it up. Lay it down. Lay aside. And let us lay aside every sin that so easily besets us. Lay aside that sin of worry. Let us lay aside that fear. Lay it down. Let us lay aside the pressures, the stresses that weigh us down. Every encumbrance that's a weight. And let us do what? Run with the endurance the race that is set before us. How? How can we do this? We see it in verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. When we need to be comforted, how can we be comforted? Eye focus. Not the big eye, but E-Y-E. Eye focus on Jesus and Jesus alone. He is our salvation. He wants to save us. He wants to be our comfort. Our eye focus. Be God dependent. How do I fix my eyes on Jesus? Some people have a problem with that concept. They don't understand. I can't see Jesus. How can I fix my eyes on Jesus when I can't see him physically? How can I do that? Well, when you came in this afternoon, I handed you a sheet of paper, and it's entitled Daily Commitment Reminder. Does everyone have one? How can we focus our eyes on Jesus? By looking at Jesus, one way, through his word. And these are some scriptures to remind us of Holy God. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of comfort. And look at the first verse, Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And they are plans for good and not for evil. In those days, when you seek me, you shall find me, if you look for me with all your heart. Holy God wants us to look to him. Not to be a rebellious people, an eye-dependent people, but to look to him with all of our heart. And I can look to God because he loves me with an everlasting love. He loves me. He chose me long before the foundation of the earth. And God is the blessed controller of all things. Nothing touches my life, not anything ever touches my life, but what God has allowed it. God has allowed everything that touches my life. And God is the love of my life, and he's called me in accordance with his purpose. Therefore, he has made a promise to me that all things work together today for my good. My dad shared with me what he believes to be the best of the Greek of that, and I love it. And you may want to jot this down. God is working in all things for my good and for his glory. God is working in all things. The stresses, the squeezes, he's allowed them, hasn't caused them. But he has allowed them. And he's working in all things for my good as his child and for his glory. When I am squeezed and God is my comfort, who's glorified? Holy God. Holy God. Because the world knows that's not something that can be conjured up by man. They don't understand it. They cannot understand it. I keep my eyes focused on Jesus because I'm foreordained to be molded into His image. You know, the scripture says that we Christians have no veil over our faces, but we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. I'm foreordained to be molded into His image. Through the stresses, through the squeezes, wasn't Jesus stressed when He had to go to Calvary? And don't we want to be molded into that image? He became obedient to the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. And nothing today, not anything that happens, not any pressure, not any stress that the world has to throw at us, not anything can separate us from the love of Christ today. Not one thing. And through Christ, I'm more than a conqueror. Through Christ, I'm more than a conqueror today. What am I more than a conqueror over? Trouble? Difficulties? Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of my life, or the sword of my enemies. There's not anything that Satan can hurl at me today but what I can be a conqueror over it. Not by being I-dependent, but God-dependent. Because why? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Now, we have a lot of prideful people today, maybe you're one, that says, I can do it, I can get it done, I can figure out a way. But God said we can do all things through who? Christ, who does what? Strengthens us. Not my strength, but His strength. And then since I am responsible to bear much fruit today, that's my responsibility as a believer. And as a result of that, I am responsible to glorify the Father through bearing much fruit. You know, fruit of the Spirit is peace. Jehovah Shalom, the God of all comfort, He is peace. He is security, and He wants to be that to each one of us. Then, turn the page, and because all that's true and I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, it frees me up. And what does it free me up to do? Number one, to know Him. And that should be our determined purpose, for my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and more intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing more fully the wonders of His person. They become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. If I don't stop and look up and look at Jesus, I can't know Him. The way I come to know Jesus is by fixing my eyes on Him. I know Him. I know when in the stresses and struggles, I know He is my comfort. Because I've walked with Him. I've talked with Him through the stresses and struggles. And He is my comfort. I no longer just ask Him to give me comfort. But He is my comfort. And it's, as the scripture says, from glory to glory. In our Sunday school last Sunday, from strength to strength. And my dad, he is such a special godly man, and I love, one of his favorite sayings to me when he gets excited about the Lord is he says, it's glory all the way, sweet girl, it's glory all the way. And when we're walking with Jesus and we're really knowing Him as Jehovah Shalom, the God of comfort, it is glory. In the stresses and struggles, it's glory. To glory, to glory. Strength, to strength, to strength. He is saving us all the day long. He is my salvation. He has saved me from the penalty of sin. He is saving me today, right now, from the power of sin. And when I stand before him, he will save me from the presence of sin. To know him in an intimate and a personal way, not to just know about him, that yes, I have heard that God does comfort, but to change from that to be able to say God is my comfort, there's a big difference. And then because I fix my eyes on Jesus, I look to him, it frees me up to yield to him, to yield to the control of the Holy Spirit in my life. Help, Lord, my comfort zone is being squeezed. I want to run. I want to hide. I want to get out of it. I don't want to stay in it. It hurts too bad, God. I want to do whatever I can do. Things we do today. Run, get a book on how to get out of this. You know, how to have a good self-image. I have a real bad self-image, God. So I'm going to run, get a book. When God says, don't flee. Rely on me. Trust in me. Look to me. Sometimes when we flee and try to get away from the stresses of life, we turn on the TV and absorb ourselves in TV. Or we spend hours with friends, hours on the phone, talk. Or we get in the rat race of, I've got to have more of this, I've got to have this, get this, run, buy. Oh, this just makes me feel so good. I just feel so, like I look so nice today, and it relieves me from all that stress and that struggle. Temporal. It's all temporal. It lasts for a minute. And then there's that lonely time in the middle of the night when we're crying out, help, Lord, my comfort zone is being squeezed. I have no comfort. I'm not a comfortable child. I'm not serene. I'm not wrapped up in you. Yield to the control of the Holy Spirit immediately. The moment your comfort zone is stripped, squeezed, yield immediately. God, I need you as my love, my joy, my peace. And then abide. Just stay in Christ. Just take up residence in the Lord. Basking in his love. Yes, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And we as God's children need to bask daily in God's love, in his comfort, in his sweet protection. And then everything that we do, do it to glorify the Lord. As the pastor preached this morning, the thought so struck me that Satan wants to get to God through his child. Does what my life represents, does it glorify the Lord? Or does it grieve? Does it quench the Holy Spirit? Because when I get squeezed, I get fearful. I get terrified. I'm tormented. I'm stressed. That does not glorify the Lord. And as the pastor said, Satan is just laughing. Because he got to God through me. He grieved the Holy Spirit because he got me to be fearful. We're to guard against the reasons for unfruitfulness, the cares, the burdens of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, Mark 4:19, and how we have to concentrate on these daily. Don't you think, as gals in modern day America, because all we have to do, you just get up in the morning. And the cares of this burden and the burdens of the world can set in real fast, can't they? The deceitfulness of riches. If I could only have this. Just the lust for other things. I mean, it just all comes in like a flood. And we're to constantly be reflecting on the fruit of the Spirit. We're to be delighting in Christ and his will. Holy God. Jehovah Shalom. God of comfort. Delight in him. Be awed by him. Be excited about Christ and his will for our lives. And then we're to make disciples as we go. We are to be sharing God. We are to be sharing the hope that is within us. Why is it we can respond like we do? when our comfort zone is being squeezed. We're to be sharing that with others because that's what a lost and a dying world is looking for. And the ones who do not know, holy God, do not know anything about comfort and peace, and they're trying desperately to find it. I love Isaiah 40:11. Let me give you just a second to turn to that in your Bible. Isaiah 40:11. He is Jehovah Shalom, God of comfort. He's like a shepherd. He will tend his flock. In his arms he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewe. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Jehovah Shalom, the God of all comfort? And then look at Isaiah 43:1. But now thus says the Lord, he who formed you, do not fear. He says, for I have redeemed you. We don't have any reason to be fearful. You know, in God's word, he tells us over 365 times, do not fear. He knew we would be a troubled people, a fearful people. And he says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, now see, he doesn't say we won't have waters to pass through, but he says, when you do pass through the waters, I will do what? I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, what will happen? You will not be scorched, for I am the Lord, your God, your Savior. You know, I shared with you how my comfort zone was squeezed in a minor way with Abraham, the cockatiel bird. That's an ongoing squeeze. Now, right now, my comfort zone is not being squeezed with my dad. My dad is preaching, doing what he loves to do. He's often said he wanted to preach until he dropped over dead in the pulpit. He's doing what he loves to do. I'm kind of past that squeeze right now. But when I get back home from this, oh my goodness. It is going to be a major comfort squeeze. Many times, our comfort zone is squeezed, doesn't let up for a long, long time. What do we learn to do in Isaiah 30th chapter? What was God's warning to the Israelites? Remember? Trust.
Come to him for counsel.
Go to him for counsel. What were some key words? Rely.
Return and rest.
Return and rest. Return to who?
To the Lord.
Return and rest in holy God. Do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. I will be with you when you pass through the rivers. They will not overwhelm us because God is with us. So what do I do when my comfort zone is squeezed? I look to Jesus, get my eye focused back on him. I receive him. He is my salvation. I receive his gift of salvation. He is Jehovah Shalom, God of comfort. I receive his comfort by resting in him and trusting in him.